on BYUSN. It's draft day for Yegor Demin as he pursues the first BYU draft pick scenario in 14 years. We'll call our shot on where we think he'll land in tonight's draft. And with yesterday's commitment of a five-star quarterback, we ask, is this the new norm for BYU football or just an outlier? We discuss all of that with Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports.
Sharpshooter Trevin now joins the program in studio to discuss why USA 3x3 basketball is the right fit for him, plus his first impressions of A.J. DeMonte at practice. And Lexi Halliday Lowry's inspiring story of relying on God and learning to lead her team with love to a national championship in the latest Deep Blue.
All she does is win. Seriously. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you are enjoying this beautiful Wednesday, June 25th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is incensed that Lavelle Edwards Stadium is not listed by EA Sports as one of the top 25 toughest places to play. He is Jerem Jordan.
You know me and June lists.
Angry.
I just get real riled up. So here they are. There's no BYU. I have a massive issue with 20. No, just kidding. That's a pretty good list. I would have liked to have seen BYU on there. Yet I'm not exactly surprised that they're not on this. I think they should be, though, especially at night.
Like, between 21 and 25, can't Lavelle Edwards Stadium hop in there with Boone Pickens Stadium at Oklahoma State?
Or last year it wasn't.
Davis Wade Stadium. Mississippi State has a place in the top 25, but BYU doesn't.
Michigan State, are they – what? I don't know.
Does it really matter?
It's all good. It's
no.
All good. It's all good. I'm excited to play the game, though. I think it comes out in about a month.
Yeah, I need to play last year's game because I bought it, and I think I've played it twice. My boys have played it more, specifically nice. My son Jet, but I probably should get my money's worth before the new game comes out, and I inevitably will buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Deluxe version, couple it with Madden, all of that. Let's go.
How do we get on the list for a free copy? We need to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's become a big deal, and then maybe we'll get stuff.
All right, it's never going to happen. On that note, rise and shout. Big day! Let's get to what's trending. Our trending topic.
I'm just so ready to accept the challenge and make this next step. I'm proud of the way he's attacked this process.
I think he could really be a really great player in the NBA.
So I'm excited for draft night. I know we all are.
Draft day for Yegor Demin in New York. 5,116 days. That's how long it's been since BYU last had a draft pick when Jimmer Fredette was taken 10th overall in the 2011 NBA draft. That is crazy. Over 5,000 days. 14 years. Of course, Yegor Demin will change all of that tonight when he becomes the first player drafted out of BYU since the great Jimmer was 14 years ago. Now, we want to play for you a portion of a recent conversation that we had with Yegor discussing what his hopes are for draft night.
I think the main thing for me is to be in the right fit, in the right team with the right coach and the right program. You know, I'm not worrying as much about being as high as I can, but be in the right spot. And again, this is all comes from faith in God and just knowing that everything that's going to happen is going to be the best option for me. I would be super excited and happy and grateful to any team they wanted me to see in their program and to see in their team.
How about that perspective? The right fit with a good mix of faith that what's supposed to happen is going to happen.
So, but if that fits higher, that means more dough.
Indeed it does.
Oh, that is the reality. Hopefully both, right?
That is the reality.
You don't want a bad fit and high.
Let's have one more look at where the latest and newest mock drafts have Yegor going in tonight's draft. Beginning with CBS Sports, who says number 11 to Jerem's Portland Trailblazers.
Okay.
ESPN has Yegor going 13th to the Atlanta Hawks. USA Today, one spot behind that at 14 to San Antonio. Yahoo Sports says number 16 to the Memphis Grizzlies. Bleacher Report at 17 to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and The Athletic, the lowest of the bunch, say number 19 to the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets, from what I understand, are very interested. They have five picks in the first, or in the draft. Five picks. And it starts at number 8,
yeah.
And of course at number 19. Okay, So, with that said, Jerem, time to call your shot.
This is Yegor reacting to the Nets picking him at 8, I think.
Where will Yegor Demin be drafted in tonight's NBA draft?
Okay, what I really want is for the Jazz to trade into the top 10 and get him at 10. But it depends what they do with the 5th pick. If they take a guy like Jeremiah Fears, then they don't need another point guard.
Yeah.
So, it kind of depends what their move is at 5. But there are rumblings of potentially Jazz wanting to go up and go grab someone before 21. It's just different at 21, right? I'm saying Hawks at 13.
Okay.
Travis Hansen was drafted by the Hawks as well. He was even rumored 2 months ago to be in the mix for the basketball operations job there at the Hawks. Nice core there with Trae Young. He could be the backup behind high usage Trae Young. Dyson Daniels, steals leader in the NBA. Jalen Johnson, Zachary Richichet. Kristaps Porzingis now in a trade. It's a nice core that looks to be a playoff team next year. He could come along in that space. I think that'd be interesting for him. 13 of the Hawks. But again, if the Jazz trade up and get him, I think all of Utah Ute Nation would freak out and it'd be amazing.
Okay. Number 13.
Oh, Ryan Smith, BYU.
To Atlanta.
That'd be great.
That the reaction would be mixed.
Awesome.
No doubt about it. Yeah, we're speaking of proximity, very close to where the Utah Jazz play. You work with the Jazz on the side and get to watch.
I'm technically
play
employed
often.
By the Jazz
yeah.
as well.
So
that's a conflict of interest.
That would be really fun to have him so close by that BYU fans can make a short drive and go
hey,
watch him play in the NBA.
Sister Gibb would like that too.
Indeed, she would. Which she told us on the show
yeah,
a few days ago.
Makes
like,
sense.
Of course, like I would love for him to be close, but
absolutely.
We will see. Now, if the Jazz don't do that and he has to land somewhere else, we're talking about what we want and then what we think. Let me throw in what I want. Number 15 to Oklahoma City
oh.
would be incredible.
Yes. Plug into that culture where everyone's super young and they just want a title.
Second youngest team in NBA history to win an NBA title.
To the 77 Blazers.
Yes.
Thank you.
That would be an ideal landing spot. But I think that the Chicago Bulls at number 12 are going to draft Yegor Demin.
Mm.
They have
One
shown
spot.
Significant oh. interest in him, have had multiple rounds of interviews. He had a great workout for the Bulls. They liked what they saw at the combine. I would not be shocked to see him be a top 12 pick. Number 12 to Chicago. They could use a point guard. I think Yegor will displace a guy like Josh Giddey, Jerem, in Chicago. Like
eventually, because right
yes,
now, no.
Yes.
But yeah, his comp is Josh Giddey because
his ceiling is higher than Josh Giddey.
Struggling, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, ceiling's higher because he's younger, probably, right? Like
best
we've seen what Josh can do 6 years in the league or whatever.
Sure. Not taking anything away from his specific skill set, but I believe that Yegor will develop into a better player than Josh Giddey ever will be. And I think he has
That'd be good,
showing that he has
a pretty good player.
The capability to have a better shot than Josh Giddey, and they're saying he's the best passer in the draft. He's 19.
Yeah.
He's 19. So.
And we'd get more Yegor saying Chicago. the day in the life when he was saying Chicago. It was fantastic. I want to hear him say that one more time.
Would you be surprised if we went 11th to the Portland Trailblazers?
No. We're both told that, yeah, 11 to the Blazers is a possibility as well.
They, not shockingly, like him a lot, too.
I don't really think he goes 10 to the Rockets. I'm not seeing that one, per se. 14 to the Spurs, depends. If Dylan Harper goes 2, which everyone thinks that's the pick, you don't need another kind of combo guard, which Yegor is being listed as a combo guard in several spots, which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I think he's a pure point guard. I know he could be a combo guard, but he's more of a facilitator than he is, like, pure shooter, get me a bucket one-on-one guy. So if they get Dylan Harper, I'm not sure they need a Yegor Demin. But in the draft, don't make the mistake of saying, well, we already feel good at this position, don't get this guy. The Blazers should have taken Michael Jordan. Instead, they took Sam Bowie because they already had Clyde Drexler. Like, just take the best dude and figure it out. And in this NBA where it's pretty positionless, yes, there are centers, but not to the same degree they used to have them 30 or 40 years ago, just grab that guy. So I'm excited for him to become the 8th first-round pick in BYU history. That's going down tonight. The first in 14 years, as you mentioned. 7th Russian ever drafted in the first round, and probably 2nd highest. 12th is highest. So if he goes 13, he's the 2nd highest Russian ever.
And what, the 4th lottery pick ever out of
which
BYU?
Which is cool. They haven't had a ton. BYU's had 2 guys at 2, Sean Bradley and Mel Hutchins. You could argue in 51, it's kind of a different kind of draft. You have Jimmer,
the Michael modern Smith. Era, I guess.
You have Craig Raymond.
So Michael Smith was not considered a lottery pick. The lottery didn't go to 13 back in 1988.
89. There
89,
you go. Yeah. Okay. So whatever, third, fourth, whatever. That's cool. Only 13 players from Russia have played in the NBA, period. And only two have played more than 200 games. Mm. Kirilenko and Mozgov. So he's about to make history for not only BYU, but his country. So we're excited for Yegor Demin tonight. And he starts the string of BYU guys in the lottery because A.J. DeBonce is on his heels next year.
Poor Timothy Mozgov.
He's not poor.
For two plays, both of which Blake Griffin are dunking super hard on him. He got Mozgov'd.
But I'm seeing career salary is $82 million.
He's doing just fine.
I think
fine.
He'll be just fine.
If he had to get posterized.
Yeah, I would get posterized for
million,
much less.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, follow-up question to all of this. What would surprise you tonight as it relates to Yegor?
If he drops out of the top 15 or if he sneaks into the top 9, that would surprise me. I think that kind of 10 to 15 is where I expect him to be drafted. If he goes 17 to the T-Wolves, I actually like the fit. I like kind of where Minnesota's headed and the opportunity there, certainly, with Mike Conley getting a little bit older. But that would surprise me. What would surprise you?
Yeah, yesterday we were talking about the chances of Yegor going outside of the range of the mock drafts that we delivered, which still remains 11 to 19. If he drops to 20, I will be shocked. Shocked. I just think there's too much interest in him, too many teams that are too high on Yegor for him to fall all the way to 20.
He's worked out for basically everybody in the top 20, by the way.
Yeah. So I do not think that will happen. That would absolutely surprise me if he fell below 19 and got into the 20s. Don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I heard one report, I'm trying to remember where it was from, NBA insider blogger, that said the Toronto Raptors are showing some late interest in Yegor. They picked 9th. But going that high,
I think Sisson would also like that, speaking of Canada.
Oh, Canada. Going that high, that too would surprise me.
Yeah.
I think he's slated really for somewhere between 11 to 16. So if he goes 9th to Toronto, that would surprise me. Drops below 19, man, I'll be stunned.
If you just said straight fit, where do you want him to go? I go Spurs.
Thunder?
Thunder.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be great. I just think that would be awesome.
If he lands in Chicago or Atlanta, he'll have an immediate playing opportunity in the places we think he will go. I say 12, you say 13.
Atlanta, it's pure backup, which is kind of what we want, actually. We don't want him to have to be a starter right away.
No. I want the time to develop.
Little scar tissue there with Zach and Jimmer and so on.
Okay. Our question of the day is, we want all of you to call your shot. Where will Yegor Demin be selected in tonight's NBA draft? At Rowdy and the Rock on X answers 11 to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Ben.
Don't love it, but I think it's what's going to happen.
I would get a jersey if that happens.
A Blazers Yegor jersey.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, I'd get a jersey. Yeah.
Brandon Palmer 7 on Instagram says, and he agrees with Jerem, 13 to the Atlanta Hawks, pairing up with Trae Young and former Utah Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder.
There's a lot of connection there with Travis Hanson.
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
The Hawks are very high on Travis and what he's capable of, not to mention his history with the team playing for the actual team. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
We're just Friday for part 2 of BYU football, back to the 80s specials. We look back in the national championship season with Robbie Bosco and more. Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, timeout on the NBA draft because maybe you heard BYU football signed a 5-star quarterback. Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports joins us to discuss if this is the greatest recruiting class in BYU history. This is BYUSN.
Oh, I'm just really excited. I'm excited about the season. I feel good about the entire team and our depth.
They've got talented guys in there. They've got some very promising transfers.
BYU wins 10 or more games for a second consecutive year. We should be ecstatic.
That's probably an understatement, although ecstatic is a strong word. We are live
Mega
in Studio
super
B.
Super ecstatic.
This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Yesterday, we celebrated hard a certain 5-star quarterback whose name we cannot say yet until it's official at BYU, who announced
thing. That's the deal.
His commitment to play for Kalani Sitake and BYU. He did so on national TV on ESPN and the Pat McAfee Show. So, Jerem, as a follow-up question, And on the heels of what we believe might be the strongest recruiting class in the modern era in BYU football history, do you feel like this type of commitment is more of an outlier, or is it going to become more of the new norm for BYU football?
Now, there is a little bit of a difference between what men's basketball has accomplished with A.J. DiBonsa and this situation, because this kid is LDS. And that is just makes it a little different. Like, it puts BYU in the conversation a little more naturally and normally and earlier, maybe even growing up, than with A.J. A.J., it comes in, you know, the last couple of years. Yes. Mark Pope's staff was recruiting A.J., Kevin Young's staff comes in. Obviously, NIL puts BYU in a space where they can compete too. Let's acknowledge it, right? But the coaching, the culture, the winning, that all matters too. You have to have that too. It's not, I don't like on social when it's like, oh, it's just about the money. No, it's not. It's not. We learned yesterday, Oregon came in later and offered more than BYU relative to. Well, if it's just about money, why didn't he go to Oregon then? So it's not just about that. There are
interesting that you bring that up, Jerem, because everybody keeps telling me it's all, BYU just paying their way. It's B-U-Y. Stop it.
No.
Get out of here.
That is funny, though, B-U-Y. I don't like it, but it is funny. I think generally speaking with, like, the quality of the players BYU is getting, yes. Is BYU going to continue to sign five-star quarterbacks year in and year out? I don't think so, but I would love it. Is BYU going to sign an A.J. DiBonsa every year, a top five guy? I would like it. What they really need is several top 50 guys. Now you're talking. It doesn't have to be a five-star quarterback. It can be a three- or four-star quarterback. Zach Wilson was a three-star coming out of Corner Canyon. He ends up being the number two pick. He was an excellent college quarterback. It's not necessarily about that. Like, this level of A.J. and this kid at quarterback, amazing. Don't get me wrong. Is BYU going to do this almost every year? I don't believe they will, Spencer. But are they raising their ability to get these guys occasionally? Yes.
I'm confident in saying that BYU has attained a new level in recruiting. And by that, I mean they've gone from, hey, it'd be cool to be in the top half of the recruiting rankings of the 130-plus college football teams.
Which is
134 now, right?
Which is a pathetic standard to me.
Right? So,
this program needs to be top 40 every year.
Top 68, or maybe you get in between 50, 60. That's some improvement. They're, right now it's 31 with this most recent addition.
And you have not everybody yet. It's only going to go up.
So I believe that BYU can and will be consistently between 30 and 40.
This is what I want.
Moving forward.
Obviously, we want top 10. But BYU, I don't think BYU football will ever consistently be a top 10 recruiting place. They get a certain kind of kid. It's just different here. Yes. It's not Georgia, Alabama. The fit matters. And we've seen BYU succeed without it. What are they going to do now when they get even more of great fits, whether they're members of the church or not?
The new norm for BYU won't be every year pulling in a five-star or multiple five-stars. That's not ever going to be the new norm. It just won't. Like, there are fewer college football teams compared, and
there's not many schools that do that, Spence.
Exactly. There's a select few that can do this on a regular basis. Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, USC.
Texas.
Oregon, Texas.
A&M to some degree.
Like, probably 10 schools that fall into that category.
That's great. Would we love if BYU got to that
space?
Yes.
But I believe that BYU's new norm can and will be a recruiting class ranking between 30 and 40. None of this between 55
and
68.
Enough of that.
Okay?
Yep.
BYU's advanced. They've graduated past that. And good for them. It's taken a huge effort.
It took Power Four.
Winning.
NIL. It took winning. It took proof of culture.
Yes.
Right? And now that you have that and you win, you have the right coaching staff, you have the right – it's all coming together, which is great.
Four stars can be a new norm for BYU football.
Yes. It doesn't have to be five stars. More four stars. BYU kind of gets 1 to 3 a year.
So maybe it's 3 to 5.
Give me 4 to 6.
And now you're in that area that we have talked about. Yeah. And by the way, I want to double down on what you said. Not just about money. This specific quarterback said BYU football was the first program to offer me a scholarship. They did so in eighth grade.
I loved him first.
They've been with me since I was in eighth grade. So they stayed with it.
Aaron Roderick, Fessy, that whole offensive staff, Kalani, of course.
Awesome.
the recruiting staff. Way to find the guy.
Yes.
Way to love him first. That's awesome.
All right, some more interesting stuff coming out of the Deseret News, Jerem, from Dick Harmon.
I like this a lot. So Dick Harmon of the Deseret News said the decision by the five-star quarterback should trigger other commitments from prospects in the class of 26. Some of them are waiting for things to settle down because they knew the decision by the five-star quarterback would block out the sun as far as sports news goes this week. So what do you make of this? Because that's hinting that there are other dudes that are going to come along as well. And in addition to some of the commits who are already good.
They want their time in the social media sun.
And they should have it.
Okay? So, yeah, don't hop on right now when a five-star quarterback has said, I'm in! And all the attention is there. You want your day in the sun?
Sure.
Wait a little bit. And frankly, that draws the narrative and story out for BYU that this momentum and this success continues. It's better for all if they wait it out. I believe Dick Harmon. And I anticipate that BYU will have at least one, maybe two more high-profile recruits down the pipeline in the coming days.
I think it'll be more, Spence. I think there are more. Okay. I think that
by high-profile, I guess I mean I expect a couple more four-stars.
I expect several four-stars.
Woo!
Three
complete plus.
Three closing on four-star kind of guys that want to be here. I mean, it's all happening. The recruiting level has gone up, man. It is awesome.
This announcement undoubtedly has an impact on those who are still weighing their options.
And last week was big time. Last week was big time. The official visits for a lot of these guys, and BYU did great.
You see a five-star commit, understandably, you probably want to join the fun. We spoke with a football recruiting insider for BYU specifically, our friend Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports, and did so earlier this morning to discuss how BYU pulled this off and is this indeed the greatest recruiting class in the modern era at BYU? Jeff, let's begin with the question of questions right now in BYU sports, because everybody wants to know, how in the world were the Cougars able to pull together and lock down a five-star quarterback with a 99 composite rating?
Oh, man. It took a lot of everything. And I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show, Jerem, but Spencer, I don't think you were here yet, but we were talking about BYU's quiver of arrows, that it takes more than just one thing. It takes more than just NIL, more than just winning, more than just professional development, all that stuff. You've got to have it all. And for the first time in a long time, BYU's got a full quiver of arrows, and man, they're looking a little bit like Katniss Everdeen with it right now. They are recruiting at a very, very high level. Look, they had to hit on every single mark when it comes to Rider Lions. Everybody recruits five-star quarterbacks really, really well. I mean, every school is saying everything right. Nobody gets five stars wrong. You just simply have to do a better job than everybody else and hope a little luck goes your way. And I think that's what happened for BYU. They did not have a misstep along the way. And ultimately, Ryder decides, hey, look, this is the best place for me to go. And it comes up BYU at the end.
Jeff, let me signal my three fingers to District 12 for that response.
Might be District 3, if you know what I mean. Jeff, tell us about this kid's skill set, because he can make all the throws, dual threat. It's so exciting because in a couple of years after his mission, this kid's going to compete for a starting spot, and it feels like BYU could do things it maybe hasn't done before with him at quarterback.
Yeah, I love the way Ryder plays, and there's been comparisons. Some have said he looks a little bit like a Jalen Hurts, and I get that because he's kind of a stocky build. He's really physical with the way he plays the quarterback position. Some have said, hey, there's some Johnny Manziel in him in the way that he extends plays. I'm going to bring it home to BYU. I can't help but see Zach Wilson in the way that he plays the game. He just plays with that same kind of swagger that Zach had. That I think their skill sets are pretty similar. I think maybe Ryder is a little bit of a better runner, and maybe Zach has a little bit more natural arm talent, but it's close. I mean, you're talking about very similar skill sets, but it's that attitude that Ryder has that reminds me so much of Zach, that everybody around him gets better when Ryder's on the field. There's this confidence in the huddle, this confidence when he steps onto the field that we can score from any spot on the field. Every play call is a home run play call, and he's going to make something happen no matter what. Look, you don't go and play at the level of high school ball that he's played in California at Folsom and go 24-4 by accident. You have to have a kind of swagger to you, and Ryder Lyons has that in spades. So I love the way he plays the game. I love, you know, his skill set, all the stuff you're going to see on a draft board one day. But it's the stuff between the ears that I think really separates him from everybody else. And I just see so much Zach Wilson type swagger in the way Ryder Lyons plays.
Hey, Jeff, we want to know, is this an outlier or is this becoming the new norm for BYU football to go out and get this high level of a recruit?
Man, that's the question. I think it's on everybody's mind. And I think it's kind of a yes and it's kind of a no. I don't know that BYU is ever going to be Texas or Alabama from a football standpoint, that every single year they can look at the 30 or so five-star guys and say, okay, we're going to get three or four of these no matter what. I don't think BYU's that level, and I don't think BYU will ever be that level. And candidly, I don't know that BYU wants to play that game to where they're getting those guys like that every year the way that Texas and Alabama do. I don't think that's what BYU wants to do. Now, that said, there's a lot of guys that fit the BYU footprint and that fit the BYU mold that are very, very good. Whether they're four stars or five stars, they're there every single year. And historically, a lot of those guys have started to look, you know, outside of BYU. They go to Oregon, they go to USC. And it's these guys that are in that BYU footprint that you think should be at BYU, that those are the losses that hurt the most, right? And I think that BYU really, I've been saying before Faletau and after Faletau, I think Faletau Satuala was kind of this like moment in time that when he committed at the Army All-American game, a lot of those, almost all of those big name quarterbacks or big name players in BYU's footprint after Faletau, BYU's firmly in the mix. I mean, that really is where you want BYU to be. So now we just hope that, hey, all of us collective members of the church, we need to breed some really good football players here in the state of Utah so that BYU has those highly touted guys in that natural recruiting footprint. Because when they're there, BYU's been nails over the last couple of years.
BYU is beating out Oregon for quite a few guys. I didn't think we'd see the day where this would happen. And this 2026 class is turning out to be incredible, and it's not done, Jeff. Last week was very important for BYU. We're seeing some of those commitments come out. And I know Dick Harmon mentioned in the Deseret News that there are others who want to commit, but they're kind of waiting for the big news from yesterday to kind of dissipate. What are your thoughts, and what have you learned about what could happen with more commitments for the 26 class?
Yeah, I think that last weekend there was a big official visit recruiting weekend. There were, you know, a bunch of highly touted guys. There were guys who were already committed, guys who haven't been committed. I think there was 20 some odd players on campus. We might look at that weekend down the road and say that this is the most important recruiting weekend for BYU in 20 years, 30 Whoa. Years. I mean, it's a big deal. It starts with Ryder Lyons, but there is a ton of talent that was there. Brock Harris, Bot Mulitalo, they're four-star guys. They're top 100 guys. They're already committed to BYU. I think that official visit kind of solidifies things with them. And then some uncommitted players. BYU might not be done beating Oregon. Jax Tanner is considering Oregon, BYU, Michigan, and Tennessee. He was on campus with Ryder and with those guys. He's as good of an offensive lineman as there is in this class. He's not quite a four-star yet. I think he will be soon. I look at some of the other guys who were there. Orem High School has Kawe Akana. He is absolutely the real deal. Jackson Gates is a cornerback who just decommitted from Syracuse right after his visit to BYU. That's generally a pretty good sign if you decommit, or if you get a decommit right after you're done hosting a player on an official visit. So there's a bunch. I think there are six or seven guys who could commit in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think Jax Tanner told me he would like to commit. He's waiting for a brother to get home from a mission, so sometime in mid-July. So really between now and that mid-July timeframe, I think you're going to see a half dozen or so players commit to BYU.
All right, Jeff, in 20 seconds, true or false, this will ultimately be the greatest signing class in the history of BYU football.
I think that's true, right? At least in the 24/7 sports era. I don't know what star rankings were in the 80s and all that stuff, but since star rankings became a national thing, yes, I think this will be the highest rated recruiting class that BYU has ever had.
Jeff, great Woo! To talk with you. We appreciate the fantastic insight, my friend. Be well in District 12.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I was trying.
Pretty close.
BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from the Big 12 Football Media Days from the Star in Frisco, Texas. July 8th and 9th, live coverage at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, a new member of Team USA's 3x3 basketball program, Trevin Nell in Studio B. Why 3x3 is the right fit for him now, plus his impressions of AJ DeBonsa at practice. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
See what other opportunities open up for, you know, basketball and other things.
Trevin Nell tried out and is now a part of USA 3x3 Basketball's pool of players. Congratulations to Trevin Nell.
Everybody needs a quick trigger elite three-point shooter.
I think he'll be really good in 3x3. I really do.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Opportunity knocks for Trevin Nell in 3x3 Team USA Basketball. He
joins us now. USA!
In Studio B. Trevin, welcome.
What's up, Trevin?
And rocking the USA swag.
I have to. We actually made it at the Orem, you know, farmer's market. And so Tatum was like, we got to make a hat. So she made her little, like, star hat, and I made my USA hat.
That's awesome, man.
So maybe Trey, shout out Wood & Grove, maybe they can make some USA merch now. So
one of one.
One of one, exactly.
Pretty good. Tell us about that whole process of trying out and making it into USA 3x3.
Yeah, so I actually was thinking about overseas, kind of still thinking about it, but I called Jimmer, and I know he, like, went overseas. He did, you know, he went over to China and everything, but he also did long distance for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife owns a bridal store, shout out Frankie Jane.
University Mall.
University Mall, right by, you know, right there. But I called him, and I was, you know, getting his advice on long distance because I was like, I don't think Tatum's going to be able to come with me for the, you know, 10, 11 months that, you know, overseas basketball is. And so he was talking to me about it. He said it's going to be really hard. It's never fun to be away from family and especially your wife. So he's like, maybe there's another option. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, do you have a team for me, you know? And then he talked to me a little bit about 3x3, told me about a camp they're doing in Phoenix. It was the next week, and I was like, oh, I won't be able to make it. He's like, oh, well, maybe we can circle back in a couple weeks. And so, like, a month goes by. I'm like, oh, my opportunity just flew out the window. That really sucks. And then he called me, and he's like, hey, we have one more spot left. We got a couple guys trying out. Would you want to come up to Colorado for this training camp? So I went up there, played the 3-on-3 with, you know, the Olympic team right now. And then, you know, my team that was in Phoenix that made the roster came up, played with them for a while with Frank Jackson, Joe Weiskamp, and Bryce. And then got the call a couple, you know, days later, and it was awesome. So I'm really excited. We go to Germany July 8th and then go to Serbia July 16th.
That's amazing, man. Congratulations. It's fun to play with Frank, too.
Yeah,
a guy that BYU fans wanted years ago.
When he came in, he just started laughing. He goes, what? Like, we have a really cool history. Played on like that same AAU kind of circuit. And it's just fun to be able to, you know, go back to those roots and play together. And he shoots it really well. He's a bigger body. And so I think our team, this like rising generation of 3x3, is going to be really fun.
Every 3x3 team, every basketball team needs an elite shooter. You are that, Trevin. So along with that, why do you feel like your specific skill set and game are good for the very different and unique 3x3 format?
Yeah, it's crazy because 3-on-3 is way more physical than like a 5-on-5 game. Like you can push, you can shove, you can hold. That's why I feel like a lot of grown men are like the Serbians are really, really good.
Mm.
They're considered the number one team in the country. I think USA right now is second. But like it's a really grown man's game, so I feel like, you know, people say I might be a little chippy on the court, but I feel like I can kind of carry that to 3x3. And then there's only a 12 second shot clock, so you have to just get up shot like a really quick shot, long shots. And then I realized really quick in training camp how important the 3-point line is, because so it goes by ones and twos,
and so the value is even higher.
It's crazy high.
Yep.
And it's just demoralizing when someone hits like two back to back, you know, threes on you in the 3-on-3 thing. It's like, oh, it's 4-0. Like, that's a hard – you're already down 4-0. If you score four layups, like, that you can come back that way. But it's really fun. And to play, against, like, with guys that kind of have similar skill sets as me is also fun because you just play, you screen, you move. I feel like I – especially last year with Coach Young, he helped me be a really good screener. And so that kind of incorporates and goes right into 3x3. So nice. I feel like everything's kind of developed into this 3-on-3 basketball.
And it's a different ball. You brought one.
I did. I practiced with it today. So it has all these grooves. It's crazy. So it's like a wave ball, right? But the crazy thing is, it's a woman's size,
okay,
but a men's weight.
Smaller, oh, interesting. But the same
crazy.
Weight. Yes.
Wow. Let me try here.
But it's crazy.
It is like, a little heavier, yeah.
So it's a men's weight, so it feels just like a men's ball.
But the but size is just it, a little smaller.
A little more
size.
Dense, but the circumference is smaller.
Yep.
Did you get used to it quickly? Are you used to it?
The first shot, like, actually, I shot it really well the first day. Second day, I was, like, feeling really confident. I was like, oh, this ball doesn't even matter. And then I hit backboard, and I was like, oh. you gotta take it. Jimmer started laughing. He's like, hey, it'll take time to get used to, but yeah. You're going
to
love it.
Not as easy to spin a ball on your finger.
It's like not. This, right? Even dribbling, you have to break it in a little bit.
The way there are so many grooves in it.
Yes.
Throws you off. Interesting.
But you can find your grip quickly.
Find the grip quickly. The ball, I feel like, goes in so much easier because it's smaller.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
It's really fun.
What's the number one bit of advice that Jimmer Fredette has given to you to help you prepare for the world of 3x3?
Yeah, he actually said conditioning. So I actually just came back from a workout. But it's so fast. So it's a 12-second shot clock. The only time you get a sub. So four guys get a play. So we have six guys on my team right now. And four guys get to travel to these World Cup tournaments and all that. And you only get a sub when there's a dead ball, so there's a foul, or somehow the ball goes out of bounds. And the rest of it is you're just going. So it could be two minutes. It's like a media, right? Like if there's no media timeout, you just keep going. But you don't get a chance to like sit in the corner and just, right? Like it's going. You have to chase guys off screens. Jimmer actually did a drill where it was 2 minutes. He had a guard. It's 2-on-1. So there's a ball handler, a screener, and a defender in this training camp. But the screener can't shoot. All he can do is set screens. So you had to chase the guy and try to keep him from scoring 11 points. And that was killer.
Whoa.
Wow.
It was a gauntlet. But yeah, he just said conditioning, try to get yourself in shape. And then just at the end of the day, it's super fun. He's like, you feel like you're a kid again. So this is a way to like bring back those memories, bring back those roots and stay connected and everything.
That's fun. That's awesome.
Germany, July 8th.
Germany, July 8th. We'll play Lithuania, Netherlands, and Germany. And
we're in the USA top. Jersey, man.
Yep, and they're the top. I think top 10 right now for all of those, so it's going to be awesome.
That's great. I can't wait, man. That'll be awesome. You've also been practicing with BYU this summer.
I love it. It's
as
awesome.
I'm the old guy, I graduated. What are your impressions of AJ DeBonta and that group?
Yeah, so I actually practiced with them yesterday. It was fun. We played to get like 4-something games to 9, and it's fun being the old head because I know how to – you just more experience helps you, right? So I hit a couple game winners, and – it's fun to have, like, we have some people there, coaches, and all the coaches came down. They're like, it's awesome to have the old head in there. You got to show the young guys how to actually play, you know. Burge is like, don't tease me with the ninth year, like, joking and everything. but this group of guys are really special. I'm really excited. It's fun to be able to go in and, like Rob said what's up to me right away, Nate Pickens, every single one of them. And then Kennard's, like, just a stellar defender. Like
we had him in yesterday.
He's amazing. We're excited about him. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome. I think this team has all the talent. AJ's every bit of what everybody says he is. You know, he's gonna be, in my opinion, the number one pick next year. He's just so smooth for being how young he is, and how physical he is, and the shot making. It's really special. So I'm excited for this team, and I think they're gonna be doing amazing things. It's gonna be, like I said, like a movie. You know.
There's a video of Richie with no headband. What's going on? That's part Richie, of his Richie's iconic
kinda,
look.
I know. Richie's kind of, I think he's saving it for the games only right now. He's kind of letting the flow kind of come
Richie
out a little
now.
Bit.
Yes.
But yeah, Richie goes 100 miles per hour. I love
it. It's
him.
Like his superhero uniform.
I know. He has to have it on.
Who is that guy? And then Clark Kent with the glass. Oh, the headband. Yeah. That's you. Yeah.
Are you still the best shooter in that building?
I would always say I am. It's fun to play. I remember I caught it yesterday. And I just did a little shot fake, pass it to Brody, and he made it. And all the coaches are like, Trevor, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, this is for these guys right now. Like, I'm
I
good.
Had my time.
But it's awesome. I'm going to miss my time at BYU. Even watching some of these highlights, it's going to be crazy not to be in the Mary Center anymore. But, you know, I have so much love for this place.
All right, in 30 seconds, we have to ask you about your good friend Yegor Demin, who's at the NBA draft tonight. We've been telling people that they need to call their shot. So call your shot. Where is he going to land tonight in the NBA draft?
He's
going
to land the 10th pick to the Suns.
Oh, he's going to the Phoenix
Which
Suns.
Which goes to the Rockets. Yeah, right?
To the Rockets.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, wait, Suns. The Rockets will pick him.
Correct.
And it'll be with the Suns. I like that.
Yep. I think that's where he's going to land, and he's closer to home, so I get to see him more.
That's true. It all revolves around Kevin Young and the Suns.
Yes, our brother. Yes, hey, we appreciate it.
Thanks for
giving your ball back. Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
Congratulations on everything.
Yeah, to Team USA, let's go.
Team USA, Trevin Nell, baby.
Outstanding. After the break, how BYU cross-country star Lexi Halliday-Lowry helped lead with love en route to a women's cross-country national championship. A can't-miss Deep Blue next on BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Lexi Halliday-Lowry accomplished a significant amount as an individual in her running career at BYU, but after a disappointing showing in 2023 in the cross-country national championships, Lexi had to learn from her coach how to lead with love and rely on God to heal her wounds. In doing so, she helped lead her team to a national championship. This is Deep Blue.
In the fifth grade, for PE, we were running the mile.
Knowing that she was wearing jeans, probably basketball shoes.
Even like the time meant nothing to me. All I knew is that I won and I beat all the boys. And so I went home and I told my dad, and he didn't believe me.
Later on, I actually went and measured it. It was a full mile, and I was like, wow, you just ran a 5:30 as a little fifth grader.
We just started realizing that maybe it's time for her to start focusing on running, because that was what she was starting to love.
Coming into cross country 2023, that was my junior year, and we were poised to do very well at cross country nationals. In all of the races leading up to it, we had won, and practices were going well.
About 2K in, she looked up, and there's 50 people in front of her. But time-wise, later on, she looked back. She was right where she was supposed to be, but she panicked. She thought, oh, my gosh, there's so many women ahead of me. And that's when the mental side just took over.
We crumbled.
We finished 14th in the country. Most teams, most programs would be really happy with finishing in the top 15, top 20 in the country. But for us, that was a year I felt like we had the talent to win.
I wish I could say that what happened was just chalk it up to a bad day, but it went so much deeper than that. Throughout the season, there were things going on and interactions happening that pointed to just an off-team culture. By the end of the season, it had turned from a we to a me. There was no depth behind our own individual goals. And when it got hard, we gave up.
I failed my team, and they failed each other. And so when you walk away from a moment like that, it's a pretty good wake-up call as a coach for me of who do I really want to be, and for athletes, who do they really want to be?
After Cross Nationals, she made a post that said, when a caterpillar thought the world was ending, it turned into a butterfly. And even when I saw that post right after the race, it didn't make sense, because I was like, the world is ending. Like, there's just, like, it just didn't make sense to me at the time. But once we got to indoor nationals, she came out of the elevator with our faces on her pants. And I remember seeing that and being like, wow, I have to show up. I get to show up because this woman has showed up for me day in and day out, and she freaking believes in me.
Coming into the 2024 season, the questions that Lexi asked me were not about how do I get to the physical dominance to help lead this team. It was more about what kind of leader do I need to be to lead this team. And so I could immediately tell by the beginning of the season, she cared about her legacy being bigger than her contribution on the cross-country course.
She really took it to heart to care for all of her teammates. She would go hang out with them, take them to dinner. A lot of teammates would come over to our place for dinner.
I came to the conclusion that I just needed to love my team really, really hard and make it fun. Because at the end of the day, that's all it is. If you can show up to practice and have fun and enjoy what we're doing together, then magical things can happen.
Every time she finished a workout, every time she finished a race, the first thing she did was look back to see where her team was. And most women don't do that. They look to see what their time was. And she was always looking to see where her teammates were. And that spoke volumes about her character, but it also let the women know that they mattered. And their performance mattered just as much as her performance. And so now you have women that have bought into each other. They've bought into each other's successes, and they've cheered each other on, and super hard to teach that as a coach. She taught that to the women.
My injury started like a month and a half before NCAAs, and I really didn't think it was much at first. I had never really had something hurt in that area of my hip, and so I think I just let it go on too long, and it ended up being what we called a hip impingement.
Regionals was in a week or so, the Nationals was right after that, so she was starting to get worried about that. So at that time, they backed off the running almost for 10 days she didn't run. She was spending 2 to 3 hours in the pool each day swimming.
During that time, I found myself praying every day before getting into the pool, before going to bed, waking up, before doing really anything. I was in constant talk with my Heavenly Father. And that was extremely necessary to keep me from freaking out, honestly.
She prayed a lot. And I don't know that she's praying, please let me win this race. Just let me run. That's what she was really praying for. Just let me run. Let me run for the team.
Well, I called just some close friends and family, and I said, just please, just pray for Lexi. And if you could fast for her, that she can just overcome this injury and just be able to run.
There was no question in her mind. It wasn't even an option to not line up at the NCAA championship. Whatever she was going to be able to physically do, she was going to do. And so we never had to have the conversation, do you want to race? It was just not an option for her. She was going to show up on that day for her team.
My individual goal was completely gone. I knew it was gone weeks before, but I wasn't going to let my team down. And at the end of the day, that's what drove me to get in the pool every day. Because if it was just for me, I wouldn't have done that. I would have called it a season and gotten ready for indoor. But the wounds from the year before, I still had the scars, and I'd learned. And I knew it wasn't about me. Cross country is not about the individual. It's about the team.
You see the ending of that race, and people think they're crying because they won a national championship, and it couldn't be further from the truth. We were crying because of the beautiful journey that it took for us to win that national championship.
That's a feeling I'll never forget. It's a feeling of knowing that I had completely and utterly relied on not only coach, but like my savior. It wasn't possible without both of those people.
Spiritually, she feels like she's never been as close to her Heavenly Father as she is right now. And, as a father, that's everything. That's better than winning in any race.
You get someone for 5 years in your program, they leave as not just a great athlete, one of the nation's best, but they leave as such a great, inspirational woman. I couldn't ask for anything more. I won't get another one of her, and I know that, but I hope I get a lot more like her.
Incredible.
All-timer.
Coming up, where do you think Yegor Demin will be selected in tonight's NBA draft? Your answers on BYUSN. The BYUSN with a few headlines of note, beginning with BYU football. Being represented by L.J. Martin, Chase Roberts, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and Keanu Tanuvasa at Big 12 Football Media Days July 8th and 9th in Frisco, Texas.
And men's volleyball announces the addition of 4 Grand Canyon transfers. Former BYU player Trent Mosier will return, which is awesome. Connor Aldaney, Kyle Zedeker, and Max Philippe. Also, congrats to signee Trey Thornton, named an AVCA High School First Team All-American. That's awesome.
Our question of the day. Call your shot. Where will Yegor Demin go in tonight's NBA draft? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from at Elko Cougar on X, who answers, Brooklyn Nets at number 8, Phoenix Suns at 10. Maybe they add the Utah Jazz move up from 21st and grab him, in parentheses says, dream scenario.
That is the dream scenario.
Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yegor Demin going to be the first-round pick from BYU in 14 years. First NBA draft pick overall in that long. Come on, let's go, baby.
5,000 days.
Crazy.
Our thanks to today's guests, Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports and former BYU basketball star Trevin Nell.
Sorry, Dennis. No time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. A final shout-out to Andy Toulson. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs, and good luck to Yegor.